Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from Isaiah chapter 45, we wrestle with the hard truth that God is sovereign over both peace and pain. Though His ways are beyond our understanding, we can trust His rule, His timing, and His purposes. Even in suffering, God is shaping us and His hands never slip. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Let's say that tragedy strikes your life. Something really big that just sort of blows you out of the water. Some of the things some of you have experienced watching a business fall apart, and I've walked with some men and some ladies through that experience. It can be, you know, pretty devastating, and maybe that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Or maybe someone that you love dies suddenly, or the test results come back indicating that it's cancer and it's very serious. I want you to just think about that. Some sort of tragedy strikes your life, something big, and before you have the time to even process it, someone comes along and really with all the right intentions, and they lean over your shoulder and they whisper words in your ears in an attempt to comfort you and to help you, and they mean it with all their heart, but instead their words in the situation that you're facing, they just cut through you like a knife. I'm guessing when I say this, there are going to be multiple people that get this and understand it, and they say something like this. You know, God is sovereign, and all things work together for good, which we believe. And the implication, though, is that you're hurting right now, but if you would just buck up and swallow hard, because the torpedo that just blew a hole in the side of your boat, this is really for your good. And you smile, and you know what they're saying is true, but deep in your heart, you're not really quite sure in that moment of what you're going to do with that. You know it, you believe it, but in that time, you're not quite sure what that means and how it all works, that in these things, God might be doing this for good. One guy I read this week concluded, he said, God is good sometimes, but He's cruel other times. I guess you just can't trust Him. And I think there are some people around us, maybe even some people this morning, that in the back of your mind, you sort of feel that way. I don't quite get it. I mean, God's good sometimes, but it feels like there are sometimes in my life that He's cruel, and maybe I just can't trust Him. Well, this morning, I want to tell you from the Scriptures, first of all, that is not true. It's not true that you can't trust Him, but it's going to take us some time to work through that and to try to explain it. So I need you to stick with me here, because we've got several different steps along the way, because we have to understand some things about the sovereignty of God if we're ever going to get this straight in our lives. All right, so we're going to read the text and we're going to work through. This is an awesome, awesome text out of Isaiah 45 that I think is going to help us talk through these kinds of things that I've just introduced to you. We're introduced to a prophecy about a guy named Cyrus. The book of Isaiah was written approximately 150 years before this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. But let me tell you, this prophecy was fulfilled in very specific manner. In fact, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but fulfilled prophecy is one of the exceptional proofs of the validity and the authenticity of the Scriptures. There's something like over 1,700 specific prophecies written in the Bible that as you read them the first time and you're not aware of the end of the story, you would say that they are very improbable that that would happen and come true in the way that it's described, and yet it does. And it's proven not only by the scriptures, it's proven by historical literature. But the key idea is this, verse 1, God was leading Cyrus by the hand. And the point is that nothing in this world happens by chance. All right, that's the point of verses 1 through 4. That's the point of verse 1. Nothing happens by chance, nothing. God is the one who orchestrates the events of history, every one of the events. All right, let's pick up reading in verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. So let's talk about God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means dominion or rule, control, authority, even has the idea of independence, sort of in the breakdown of the word independence. And what it means is I listed just five things here. This is what sovereignty means. God is the ruler of all. God answers to no one. God can accomplish whatever he wants in all things. He is in control of all events of history. God sees history from beginning to end. No obstacle or adversary can hinder his plan from beginning. God always knows what's best, and he never makes a mistake. But sovereignty means this, that God is in control of it all. Of all of creation, all of the universe, God is in control of all of time. Everything that your mind can wrap around, God is in control of all of it. The stuff that we see and we don't see, the things that we understand and we don't understand, nothing stops his purposes, not people, not events, not time. He is always in complete control and guiding every circumstance that takes place on the earth. This is what we mean when we say God is sovereign. And that applies to what was happening back in Isaiah 45. And it applies to what you're going through today. God is in complete control of every single second of every event that's going on in your life. So, what are these verses telling us? All right, here's theological idea number one. We find this in verses 5 through 8. And that is that God is so not like us. Really. And we really have to start here with this foundational truth. And the hard truth is this, that God's sovereignty is scary sometimes. And the reason is that God is not like us. And so we don't always understand it. Read it again. First part of verse 5 says it. Verse 6, man, that verse is so great. That they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun that there is none beside me. Verses 18 and 22, we didn't get to those verses, but they say the same thing. God is not like us. And now listen to this, verse 7, let me read it again. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. It's interesting. I, the Lord, do all these things. Actually, the King James of verse 7 says he creates evil. A better word for evil would maybe, or maybe more understandable, would be disasters or calamity. And that ought to stop and make us go, wow. I mean, it's an amazing statement. We love the good news. Everybody cheers when we think about God, and it says he forms the light and he makes peace, or he causes well-being. We love the God that brings good things into our lives. That's the God that we desire. That's the God that we worship. But I want you to hang onto your hat this morning, because most of us struggle with the God of the Bible, who goes on to say, wait a minute, because not only do I bring good things into your life, I am the one who creates calamity. And notice the words. He doesn't just say, I allow calamity. This is a very specific word. Isaiah, the prophet, on the voice of God says, I am in the process at different times in your life of creating calamity in your life. That's sort of a showstopper, isn't it? I mean, we've heard that evil and disaster and calamity in our world is the result of sin and the fall of man, and that's true. It is. Sickness and disease and illness and natural disasters and hardships were not part of God's original plan. God didn't create the earth like that. And yet when God created a world in which we have this freedom of choice, the ability to choose to do right or wrong, to do good or bad, to pursue sin or righteousness, when he created that world and man chose to reject God, the consequences of those choices are everywhere. And God does not halt the effects of those choices. Sometimes he does. Sometimes God steps in to the choices that man has made and halts the bad results of them, but not always. And so we would say that although God is not the author of sin, he is the one who created a world in which we could choose, and those choices have bad consequences. And this is where, I don't know if you're tracking with me on this, but this is where we really struggle with God's sovereignty. Because even though we know that God didn't create sin and the consequences of sin, his sovereignty means that he could stop it, right? He could stop that baby from dying. He could stop that child growing up in horrible circumstances. It's hard to think about. We're saying this morning that he is sovereign. He is in control. He has absolute control over everything that happens in this world. And we wonder, this is hard for us. I mean, he could stop that family from suffering, and he could stop that cancer from spreading, and he could stop that starvation of children that results in children dying all around the world today, innocent children. He's sovereign, right? He could stop it. So why doesn't he? Isaiah says, do you want to see God? You want to see what he really looks like? Do you want to see his sovereignty? Do you want just the easy stuff that's easy to swallow, that's great to think about? Or do you want the truth? Because here it is. Here's the hard facts. I form the light, the good, and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And you say, Pastor Gary, I'm not liking this at all. I mean, can we start over with this? Why don't you go back to your study and study it again and come back with a message about this text that makes me feel a little bit better about this? I want to tell you this morning that you should like this idea. On the surface, we don't like it. In fact, we hate it. But deep down, we should embrace it. And here's the reason. Listen. Because God is so not like us. And I'm telling you, it's the whole point. Because here's the problem. When something bad happens in our world or in our lives, we want to have answers. We think things would somehow be better if I could just figure out what God is doing. Why did he do this? What's he thinking? But listen to me, the only way it could ever be true that we could figure God and his purposes out was if God was like you. Listen carefully. You should not trust God less because you don't understand everything. You should trust him more. Can you imagine how small God would be if you could comprehend all that he allows and why he does it? Listen, I don't want to be a part of some universe that's run by somebody that's like me, right? You understand that? I don't want anything to do with a God who is like me. Do you? But in the pain of losing a loved one, or when your life circumstances just are so crazy and on the surface, your whole being cries out, God, this doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to follow you. I'm making decisions. Some of them are hard decisions about the things that I want to do to follow you. And yet, God, I don't understand why you keep allowing this to happen in my life. What are you doing? Could you just show me and tell me what you're doing here? And even though on the surface you will ask those questions just like I have, I want deep down where your theology rests on God's word, I want you to know, I mean really know, that the fact that I can't understand God is deeply good because he is so not like me. Turn over real quick to Romans chapter 11. Similar idea. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What does Paul say? God is so not like us. You cannot understand him. But this is not a bad thing. Don't let your spirit rest in this idea that it's a bad thing. It is a good thing because his ways are unsearchable. His knowledge is way past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, Christian, I understand. My friends, my family, I know, I think I've walked some of the paths that some of you are feeling right now, the overwhelming sense of, God, why are you doing this? But I want you to know the reason that you don't know is because you can't know everything, because God's not like us. And in the end, this is deeply, it's deeply good. Here's theological idea number two. We're going to keep reading in Isaiah 45. This is going to pick up the next few verses, 9 through 13. And here it is. God will do whatever he pleases whenever he wishes. And the hard truth is this. God doesn't need our permission. We'll look at these verses here in just a minute, but before we do, there's one big question that comes up every time we talk about the sovereignty of God, and that's this question. How can a sovereign and loving God allow so much suffering? And the answer is going to lead us right into the rest of our text. I want to tell you a couple things. Number one, God's love is not primarily concerned about our comfort. It's concerned about our character. All right, so that's part of it. God's main purpose in your life is to produce character, not necessarily to bring you to comfort. I heard somebody say one time, God doesn't get up every morning and start thinking about how he can plant a bigger smile on your face. God wants to bring happiness and fulfillment and joy into your life, but I wanted you to know this is the truth of the scripture. God wants to produce character, which produces deep joy. God's love is not a pampering love, but a perfecting love. So God is all about this process of growing and changing us to be more like his son. And so sometimes in the framework of God's sovereignty, God says, I'm going to allow this for a particular purpose. And listen, it may not be fun. There might be some hard consequences, but hear me well. These are exactly the tools that God uses in his shaping process. God will not bring any hard thing into your life that is not fully intentional and designed to shape you, to guide you, to direct you to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. And so if God brings some trials and some difficulties into your life, I promise you that he's trying to do some work. And the bigger the trial is, the bigger is God's intention for change and work in your life. And by the way, I want you to know this too. Trials will always push you. They'll push you one of two ways. You can sort of see trials as a wedge in your life. And when a trial comes into your life, it is either going to drive a wedge between you and God, or it's going to drive a wedge that pushes you towards God, but trials will always push you. And whether that trial drives you away from God or pushes you towards God is up to you. If you're here this morning and you've walked in here just broken and crushed by the weight of some trial, I want to come beside you as encouraging as I can, and I want to tell you gently that you do have a choice. You can harden your heart and refuse to trust the sovereign purposes of God, which will one day prove good. Or you can run to him and participate in the blessings that God has planned and bury your face and maybe even your tears in the mystery of God's sovereignty. Here's the text, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. I think the ESV just translated pots or earthen pots. That's the word. So let the clay pots strive with the clay pots of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Listen closely to verse 9 and maybe even underline that first line. Woe to the one who strives or quarrels with his maker. See, what does it mean to strive with or quarrel with God? Isaiah draws two pictures for us. One is the picture of the clay and the potter. Can you see that piece of clay that the potter is making, standing up and saying, get your hands off me and off my life. You don't know what you're doing. Or how about looking at a newborn baby and proclaiming to its parents, behold, what have you done here? Who made this hideous kid? Listen, this is so connected with understanding God's sovereignty, because it is just like us, just like me, to struggle in this area. And God brings this hardship into your life, this work situation, this marriage difficulty, this health crisis. And in that situation, here's your choice. It's this: either I'm going to get bent and eventually bitter, or I'm going to slow down and allow God to be God. That's your choice. And here's what I'm telling you this morning, and Isaiah is expressing it so passionately. It is okay to ask the questions. Please, I want you to understand this. When Isaiah pronounces this woe, this judgment, he's not saying, hey, somehow muffle the questions that you have. It is okay to ask your questions. Questions are essential to a growing faith, as long as you look for the answers in the right place and as long as you look for truth to answer your questions. And when no answers are given, I'm saying this as a fellow traveler along with you on the spiritual walk. I'm saying it along with you as a person who's at different times in my life said, God, why? And I want to come along beside you, and I want to tell you that in those times, don't quarrel with God. I know it's easy in here. It's not so easy in real life. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, I want to draw you this morning to an understanding again that the fact that you do not understand everything about God is deeply good, because it tells you that God is bigger. He's not like us, and that's okay. And I want to ask you, in the deep valleys of life, to intellectually understand, and with everything that you have, to emotionally embrace. Embrace this deep understanding of the sovereignty of God.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.